Ramgiri Dharvi Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam Antalila 18.71 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your very valuable time and association to us to enlighten on this topic. I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. So, Hare Krishna, thank you so much for engaging in the service. It's a pleasure to be with you all to discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita. And today we will discuss from, read from Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila, chapter 18, text number 71. Through 79. So we are going to discuss 9 verses today. We'll read 9 verses and then we'll discuss them. The context that we are in is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was walking by the sea in Jagannath Puri, and suddenly he got overwhelmed, he got so excited. He looked at the sea, and in his transcendental mood, he had considered this as Yamuna and jumped into it. And he lost his consciousness, and eventually he was rescued by a fisherman near Konark, the sea shore. He thought he got a big fish, and finally he got to see Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in completely inert state, where non-moving state. So he thought he got a dead body. So then when he touched him, suddenly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded in a manner which the fisherman couldn't understand. Not only that, the body and the consciousness of the fisherman also got completely changed. So he started to also behave as if he's haunted. So he really feared that he was haunted and there's a ghost in the body of the person whom he caught in the fishnet. And eventually, all the followers, disciples and associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came searching, and they came to this place. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, hearing about all the background, he recognized that it could be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. So he came and told the fisherman that whom you are thinking as a ghost and a dead body is not an ordinary person. He is Supreme Personality of God and himself. But the fisherman said that, no, this I know I have seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he doesn't look like one. That's when Swarup Damodar Goswami explained that, no, he is into a transcendental state of consciousness. So in that state of consciousness, he has definitely developed new bodily symptoms, and his body has got transformed in certain manner. So otherwise, he is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this fisherman couldn't understand, and finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami has to portray himself as somebody who can shoo away ghosts. So he kind of slapped fisherman 3 times and chanted some mantras so that he can come to his senses. So it was very interesting that how Swarup Damodar Goswami he is very intelligent at different situations, how he acts to suit the situation. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, lying down there in a very precarious condition. So Mahaprabhu finally said that, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami finally said that this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the fisherman became very happy. And so he brought, so many people came and saw Darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, so this verses 8-9 verses that we are going to discuss is about the situation that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explaining. I have purposely, you know, not stepped into the next section, which is from verse number 80 onwards, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is narrating what has actually happened. And I, as I mentioned, I am very poor, not so qualified, not so, suitable with my current consciousness and my position and my state. I personally feel that maybe some other speaker can do justice to the entire narration Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, glorifying about what has actually happened, why he, you know, jumped into the sea, and how the entire sequence of event has happened according to what Mahaprabhu saw. What we read up till this point in time is what what we all, from an external naked eye, what we all saw, and the episodes that happened. But what you all will be discussing in the next session after mine will be a very interesting set of narrations, little esoteric, very deep, and we need some real humility to understand those verses. So I will leave it for the future speaker. So what we are going to discuss today is a kind of a bridge. So we are going to draw some interesting perspective. So that's what probably by finishing reading we will churn that part out. So we will read from verse number 71 through 79. I just thought I'll give a background just in case if somebody did not, you know, attend the previous session, so they'll get to know the background. Text 71.
Bhumi te padiyate prabhu dirgha savakayam jale shvetatanu valu Lagi yache gayam.
The Lord was lying on the ground, his body elongated and bleached white by the water. He was covered from head to foot with sand. Text 72.
Ati dhirga silatanu charama Natkayam Dura Pata Udhana Hare Ananayayam.
The Lord's body was stretched and his skin was slack and hanging loose. To lift him and take him the long distance home would have been impossible. Text 73.
Ardra kaupina durakari shushka paranam bahirvase soyaila valuka chadanam.
The devotees removed his wet undergarments and replaced it with a dry one. Then laying the Lord on an outer cloth, they cleaned the sand from his body. Text 74.
Sabe meli uchakari karena sankirtane uchakari Krishna nama kahena prabhura kane.
They all performed sankirtana loudly, chanting the holy name of Krishna into the Lord's ear. Text 75.
Katakshane prabhura kane shabda parashilam hunkara kariya prabhu.
After some time, the sound of the holy name entered the ear of the Lord, who immediately got up, making a great noise. Text 76.
ఉతితేయస్తి సబ లాహిల నిజ స్థానే అర్ధ బాహ్యే ఇతి ఉతి కరేన దర్శనే. As soon as he got up, his bones assumed their proper place. With half external consciousness, the Lord looked here and there. Text 77. Tinadashaya Mahaprabhu Rahena Sarvakala Antardasha Bahya Dasha Ardha Bahya Aram. The Lord remained in one of the three different states of consciousness at all times: internal, external, and half external. Text 78. Antardashara kichu ghora kichu bahya jnanam sehi dasha kahe bhakta ardha bahya namam. When the Lord was deeply absorbed in internal consciousness, but he nevertheless exhibited some external consciousness, devotees called his condition ardha bahya or half external consciousness. Text 79. Ardha bahya kahena prabhu pralapa vachane akashe kahena prabhu sunena bhakta gane. In this half external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked like a madman. The devotees could distinctly hear him speaking to the sky. So we will read this still. So verse number 80, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking. So I will leave it for the next speaker to continue there. ఓమ జ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయాం చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. నమోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాదేశతారిణే. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానందాం శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృందం. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో ఫర్ దోస్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఆర్ ఆల్ లాగింగ్ ఇన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇండియా, సో టుడే ఇస్ ఆస్పీషియస్ వండర్ఫుల్ డే ఆఫ్ స్నానయాత్ర ఫర్ జగన్నాథ్ బలదేవ్ సుభద్ర మహారాణి. అండ్ ఐమ్ షూర్ ఐమ్ నాట్ షూర్ వెన్ ఇస్ దాట్ ఇన్ యుఎస్ఏ, ప్రాబ్లీ ఇట్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్ టుడే దేర్. సో వి టేక్ ద బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ జగన్నాథ్ బలదేవ్ సుభద్ర మహారాణి. Say Gaur, Jai Gaur, Say Krishna, Say Jagannath. So this wonderful form of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, especially Lord Jagannath, as well as the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shyam Sundara and Lord Gauranga are non-different. Vasudeva Ghosh has very clearly, emphatically had said this. Whilst Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his manifested Leela, there were, as it was concluded in verse number 78 and 79, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did certain acts which were purely external. When he was in that state, he was roaring like a lion and going out to convince, preach, and give Krishna prem to everyone. He was traveling, encouraging, winning. So those who were against Sankirtan mission, he was going and challenging them. Those who were innocent, he was encouraging them. Those who were in between, he was trying to facilitate and try to bring them to the process of Sankirtan mission. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fully in internal consciousness, nobody can understand, infer, decipher. Nobody can participate. You can only, you know, just wonder how to even handle this. So in the last several weeks or several months, we are, you know, dealing with such a subject matter here. At least the last three chapters, chapter 17, 16 to 18, they all have been pretty esoteric, where it only deals with Mahaprabhu's internal consciousness, which hardly handful of devotees only could understand, even when Mahaprabhu was there. What to speak of now? So I'm sure only very special devotees could actually get into this. So when he is in internal consciousness, nobody have a clue. So we will have to wait for his Ardhabhaya consciousness, his half external consciousness, to at least get a clue of what went on. That's when he is still the being. Otherwise, in his external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never shared or never revealed or never said he is Krishna himself. He always portrayed, he always preached, he always encouraged us to practice Krishna consciousness as a Krishna Bhakta. In his internal consciousness, he was anyway blabbering, so nobody could follow. So we have to wait for his half external consciousness for us to know the secret of what had actually happened. So because of those moments, or apart from all the other wonderful narrations, because of those wonderful narrations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during those half external consciousness, we got to hear so many wonderful loving exchanges, as well as the very subtle aspects of pure devotion service. So with that base, I would like to, you know, share some sets of reflections. So the first reflection is about drawing some parallel in our own life. When I say parallel, I'm not trying to even anywhere trying to state in Krishna consciousness perspective or comparing ourselves with anyone else. Just purely studying our personal behavior. Each and every one of us also operate on different state of consciousness. One, especially as sadhakas, I'm telling. One is when we are with our friends, with our neighbors, with our society, with our so-called colleagues in the office, who are all not devotees. When we are with them, we are a completely different person. When we are in a transcendental association, sadhu sangha retreat, when we are in a very close association with self-realized souls, devotee Bhagavata, when we are in soul-stirring conversation and Krishna Katha, at that time we are very contemplative and introspective. But we have this in-between state called a state of blabbering. For us, this is two-folded. One fold is where we try to blabber, lament, long, desire, yearn for devotee Sangha. On another half external consciousness is, whilst we are in Krishna consciousness, attire Krishna consciousness environment, thinking about materialistic paradigm. That is why Jivatma
is called Tatastha Shakti. Antaranga Shakti, Bagiranga Shakti, and Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha Shakti is that which we are, we swing, depends upon whom do we associate. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says it as, he is trying to say six symptoms or six kinds of behavioral pattern as a part of his explanation, Madhurya Kadambini, where he explains that we are, at some point in time or the other, we try to keep swinging. We have our own mood swings, we have our own reasonings for whatever we do. Hence, he tries to give all those six things. So my first reflection is that in our journey to Krishna consciousness, we need to understand, accept that we do have this half external consciousness. When we are in our internal or internalizing, when we are in our introspective consciousness, it is good for us. It is purifying for us and it is glorifying the Supreme Lord. And that state, it is very good for us to make progress. That is a good state to be in. And when we are with our materialistic friends, because of our behavior, because of our split personality, that we try to hide our identity, we try to not to reveal who we are, what is our actual consciousness is. So we are not so much Krishna consciousness. Probably that's the time we try to, hide our Krishna consciousness, or that's the time we try to, behave in a manner which is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. There is a third in-between state that I said. That in-between state is switching between two paradigms. One is, as a materialist, swinging towards Krishna consciousness because of some experience. And as Krishna conscious practitioner, swinging towards materialistic things because of our past vasana. So, my first reflection hence is to list those six classifications that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says. And those six classifications are very important for us to know that if they are within us, which means our anartha nivritti is still happening, or we are still in the process of still finding our ground. The first category is called Utsahamayi, where Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says a person is kind of enthusiastic, but his enthusiasm is very subjective enthusiasm. He is having a false confidence. Basically, it is explained that as a part of our practicing Krishna consciousness, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says, when we are doing bhajana, because I want to understand this current context from a sadhaka perspective, because a fisherman who got the slap from Swarup Damodar Goswami, he came to senses. Swarup Damodar Goswami slapped thrice. He came to senses. Prabhupada says, if you don't obey, if you don't follow, if you don't accept the spiritual master or the spiritual authorities, then what he says? Maya jhapatiya dare. Either get your ears tweaked by your spiritual master who drags yourself to the Supreme Lord, or be waiting, wait for Maya to give a tight slap. Thankfully, in this case, fisherman got a slap from Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he came to his senses and he witnessed what this highly uncommon scene. So when we actually get treated by a self-realized soul, even though we may be getting the hard side of him or a tough side of him, it is still glorious for us to transform. So my first reflection includes the six categories of Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. There are two types of Bhajana Kriya. Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So, Anartha Nivriti has not even begun. So, when we are doing this Bhajana, when we are doing this practicing of devotional service, these six vices or the six behavioral patterns are definitely seen. We have discussed this in one of the earlier sessions, probably maybe a year before, or maybe a couple of years before. But it is always better to go back and read the basics or read this thing so that it is reinforced. So number one is called Utsahamayi, which is called the false confidence, or one may be puffed up with enthusiasm. You will see that over-enthusiastic category. And second is about Gana Tarala, which means sporadic endeavor, being sometimes diligent and other times negligent. Third is called Viuda Vikalpa, which is indecision. Because of extensive speculation, the mind spends time pondering on whether to renounce or whether to continue for some more time in gratification. Fourth is called Vishaya Sangara, struggle with the senses or inability to give up sense enjoyment. I struggle with my own self. Fifth is called Niyamakshana, inability to uphold vows, which results in the inability to improve in one's devotional service. And last one is called Taranga Rangini, enjoying the facilities offered by bhakti and not actually focusing on bhakti. So these six are six unsteady Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. When we are practicing bhajana, when we are practicing devotional practices, we may have these symptoms. The reason these symptoms are analyzed, that in our half-baked state, half-external state, we will talk about half-external state of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a bit. I was just trying to draw a parallel. In a half-external state, because we are neither too much into materialistic life, nor we are too involved in spiritual life, in this in-between stage, we should be very careful enough not to fall prey to the materialistic side of our thinking. Then somehow or other, we should motivate and remove the false alarms, remove the false enthusiasm, false confidence, false kind of, you know, emotions, and try to be self-honest to oneself. We always call it as honorable devotion, which means I try to practice Krishna consciousness not for proving myself to anybody else. This is for myself to practice Krishna consciousness seriously. Honorable devotion means I am answerable to myself, my spiritual master and Paramatma. I don't need to show off to anyone else. So this is my first reflection in this current context for us to get ready to understand what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to explain. When we also get a slap like the fisherman got, possibly we will understand these lessons internally to be ready to understand what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to speak in terms of what all had happened, how those emotions are exhibited, and how those emotions are real in an apparently unreal world, or, you know, a dreamy world. It is actually real. This all Mahaprabhu had actually witnessed, enjoyed, and participated in the wonderful emotions. So this is my first reflection. So these six stages, Utsahamahi, which is called false confidence, or puffed up with enthusiasm, Ganatarala, sporadic behavior, Yuda Vihalpa, indecision. Vishaya Sangara, struggle with senses. Niyamakshana, inability to uphold vows. And Taranga Rangini is one who is interested in the facilities offered by bhakti, but not actually interested in devotion by itself. So please learn. We will all learn to have honorable living, honorable devotion, so that we respect the principles that we are supposed to follow and not to get carried away by the so-called allurement. The second reflection is about the sense of honesty in the practitioner's life. Because as a devotional practitioner, we need to have some sort of self-honesty, which is in continuation to the honorable living, where Mahaprabhu's Ardhapaya explains about what has actually happened in his internalizing. Our self-honesty will help us in trying to help our spiritual authorities to, you know, take us out of our mess. We always say this, honest, guided introspection. So we need to learn to apply this principle of HGI in our devotional practices. So I would like to discuss, as a part of the second reflection, certain things about honesty as a best policy. So there are five stages of honesty that we need to show. Again, I am saying this point as a intermittent, from going from an external consciousness to understand an internal consciousness, what preparation we need to have. So this class is just a bridge. So far, till verse number 70, we heard the Leela that normal world witnessed. You will be discussing from verse number 80, the Leela that actually happened, which Mahaprabhu is going to describe. So when we have to transfer our consciousness from external consciousness to an internal consciousness, the transformation that we are seeking now need to happen. So hence, the second principle about honesty as the best policy. So there are five stages of honesty. And this is very important for us to discuss, because we are part as a congregation, as a grihastha, as a socially active devotee. We are part of several groups, some colleague groups, some friends groups, some family groups, devotee groups, some self-realized groups. So we have actually, you know, we are moving around all of them. So we have an experience of all of them. And now that we are in the process of refining our own life, so we better learn to know what is to be accepted, what is to be, you know, careful about. So the first level of honesty, which is to be rejected, but still we call it honesty because that's how the world is calling. Honesty only by words, just as a lip service, but not in action, neither in attitude, and nor in, you know, in your own desire. This is purely just namesake honesty as people use, but this is hypocrisy. It has to be rejected and be careful with such a personality. If we are one, so please go and get yourself corrected. If you are a one who speaks about several things, but don't, you know, accept them or don't follow them, this type of honesty is the nature of Kali Yuga, and we need to reject them. 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely explained that. Second is a very interesting type of honesty, which is called honesty amongst thieves, where what Prabhupada says, thieves go and steal from all the places, and when they come together, they share and say that we should share the, you know, loot honestly amongst us. So they have their own protocol, they have their own basis, they have their own you know, understanding of, you know, how to not ditch each other, how not to, you know, cheat each other. So such an honesty is also to be rejected, because I am looting, I am actually behaving in a very reckless manner. But when it comes to me, my quota, I expect, you know, some sort of a principled, regulated behavior. So the second level of honesty is also something that is generally rejected. The third level of honesty, which is we need to be very much wary of, is honesty only to very limited and conditional circumstances. When the condition changes, I will become dishonest. For example, we expect and insist certain behavioral patterns, and when those behaviors are changed, say for example, Kamsa, when he was very nicely, lovingly taking Devaki along with Vasudev to Vasudev's house after the marriage, his love, care and genuinity got challenged when the Akashvani, when the sound from the sky came. So there are several devotees, their love for Krishna, love for ISKCON, love for the process, everything remains intact only when certain criteria condition gets fulfilled. It's conditional honesty. This can also be classified as duplicity in some cases. So this conditional honesty is also something that we need to be careful. Fourth is about honesty limited by rules. Like for example, I am bound by rules. I follow the rules. I am truthful to the rules. Whatever rules says, I will follow. Beyond which, don't expect me to go out of the way. This is the beginning of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So I am not understanding all these emotions. Whatever Mahaprabhu is going to speak, whatever, you know, all the devotees are, you know, enjoying, appreciating, crying, rolling on the floor, all those descriptions are, you know, too beyond myself. But yes, I will follow the rules. I'll get up early in the morning. I'll chant 16 rounds on my beat. I will follow four regulative principles. I will do certain things. So these are all laid down rules. I will just stick to the rules and follow them. I'll be honest to that. And that is where the actual devotional journey begins. This is level 4. 1, 2, 3 levels are stated just purely to state where we need to be careful and where we should not be victim of that. So hence the fourth honesty is honesty limited by rules. And fifth is about honesty by action. I am honest by my action, by my behavior, by my, you know, my surrender. So, without I get fully cognizant, but still I am expressing my love, going out of the way, making sure I think beyond rules, I think beyond, you know, certain boundary in the forward direction. In third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very nicely explained by Kapila Dev to Devahuti. So he is saying that a person whose devotion or whose devotional sentiments are without interruption, without cessation, and without reason, those are all behavioral symptoms where a person is heading towards pure love of Godhead. Avichinna Abhyavahita Ahaituji. Avichinna means without interruption. Abhyavahita means without cessation. And Ahaituji means without reason. So here I am trying to be honest to myself, my spiritual authorities, to my practices, because I have already started seeing the taste of it
So I am ready to go past my rules. Even though my initiation vow restricts me or not restricts me, you know, my initiation vow is about 16 rounds. I am happy to chant 25 rounds, 32 rounds, 64 rounds. Even though I am supposed to be fasting good enough to fast on Ekadashi, I am trying to, you know, extend myself to observe that in austerity. So I am just going one step forward in diving deeper into the loving devotional service. This is honesty by action. It is a natural, we can always call it Raga Anuga. Or Vaidhi Bhakti tending towards Raga Anuga. So this basic principles of functioning needs to be clear. The reason why we are talking about honesty is this current context is when we are trying to get deeper in our Krishna consciousness, for us to understand the deeper science of Krishna consciousness, for us to appreciate the deeper science of Krishna consciousness, whilst we have, you know, because as a Kanishtha, when I have joined ISKCON, when I started associating with devotees, I will have several mood swings as we spoke in the first reflection. So let us try to honestly govern these mood swings within the bracket of spiritual Krishna consciousness devotional framework and handle them to go towards Krishna, towards appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is my second reflection. So first is about honorable living, honorable devotion. Second is about honesty, the best policy for our honorable living. Now, the third reflection. In the third reflection, it is about sentiments and emotions in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday in our Bhagavatam session, we are discussing about teachings of Queen Kunti. In that session, we were discussing about, there was a question asked by a devotee on different emotions whilst we are practicing Krishna consciousness. Because we see several devotees, some devotees cry, some devotees are happy. Some devotees behave like, you know, this whole last three chapters, Mahaprabhu's behaviors are all, you know, completely confusing for a normal person. Why? How this is devotion? Somebody is behaving like a madman, rolling on the floor, going unconscious, going, whatever state. So, we do go through different mood swings and emotions. So my third reflection is about the Siddhanta of understanding, handling one's emotions. Because what should not happen is just because I am in such a zone where there is extended emotions are there, I should not sentimentally or just jump into those emotions without understanding, without being honest to our own self practices. This is a very subtle point, but a very important point. In our growing days in Krishna consciousness, we had a very interesting situation. One of our congregation, Mataji, she happened to got hold of a book called Vaishnava Saints. This is written by Kiraj Prabhu. I'm not sure if you ever have come across such a book. I've never seen them quite often nowadays. I think Kiraj Prabhu is not, maybe somebody else. So Vaishnava saints is talking about this Vaishnava trio. Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit and Srinivas Acharya. He is going to the entire cross section of their lifestyle and going as deep as what their bhava, what their swarupa siddhis are, what their swarupa is. So, this I am talking about in 1991-92, in those days. Maybe I was in my third or fourth year in Krishna consciousness. So, somebody, you know, brought this book and naturally as an over-enthusiast, as an over-sahit. So, we were grabbing that book, but one devotee stopped us saying that it is extremely important, because that book talks about Manjari Bhava, how the Lord, how the Vaishnavas, they go outside of their bodily consciousness, their soul actually enters into the, you know, eternal Leela of the Lord, participates in that Leela, and you know, several stories are written out there. When I have not even realized I am not this body, spirit, soul, when I have not even understood my basic consciousness in Krishna consciousness, what is my constitutional duty, what is my conditional duty, and how I am supposed to conduct myself, when I have not even understood several basics, how do I even, you know, contemplate on such things? So our senior devotee said, no, your first duty is to understand the basics. Sri Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, small books, understand those basic things before diving deep into this. So my point I was to try to drive home is, as a third reflection, how to handle emotion, where to focus our current Krishna consciousness endeavor and energy, whilst there are several, you know, correct activities, wonderful activities are happening, we need to know where we have to align ourselves. We spoke in another Bhagavata class where it is important to know what is recommended beyond what is bona fide. There are several things that are bona fide, but I need to accept and practice what is recommended for me in my current state of consciousness. So when we are reading through these all wonderful literatures, when we are reading through whatever you are going to read through, we should connect ourselves as honestly as possible and try to draw lessons that we can learn. Probably certain lessons we can't draw today, so we have to go back to the basics and come back again. That's why we are, Prabhupada says, scrutinizingly studying my books, which means you go over it again and again. Now you read Krishna book again and again, you read Bhagavad Gita again and again, you read Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, you read Chaitanya Charitamrita again and again. That way, by churning more and more, we are, you know, as well as applying those knowledge in our practical life, as we said, honesty by action, we will be able to, you know, resonate with certain words. So hence, my third reflection is about the aspects of emotions. So we discussed yesterday, I'll, you know, repeat them. Emotions are classified into three stages. One stage is about understanding emotion connected with the reality of this world. Because sometimes the point I was trying to drive home is, sometimes we get emotional, we get sentimental, we get, you know, baato mein behte hain, kehte hain in Hindi. We just get lost into several, you know, moods. So hence, first category of emotion is to get to a reality check. What is this world? Who are we? What is our connection? What is the end result? This is a reality check. Matras, Parshast, Kaunteya, Tidoshna, Sukadukkada, Agama, Payino Nitya, Stam, Titik, Shastva Bharata. Very clearly explained that understand happiness and distress do come and go, like seasons do come and go. Hence, a self-realized soul is never perturbed by such a change. This is the reality, and this is about handling our emotions. When there are challenges in life and there is difficulty in life, we don't need to get so much bogged down, because there will also be happiness coming our way. So let us not get too much elated, because the challenges further can come upon us. So we keep, you know, going through happiness and distress as, you know, seasons, you know, keep coming and going. So yeah, a self-realized soul hence is not perturbed. This is the first way to handle our emotions in terms of challenges, difficulties and things like that. This is philosophically correct and practically to be understood. The second level of emotions that we need to handle and understand is about emotions that are connected with us within our life for our growth, vis-a-vis emotions of others. What happens is that we generally superimpose, we generally inherit, we generally carry others' emotions just because it is either popular or because we are weak. So what I want to say is that when it comes to emotion upon us, I learn to tolerate, I learn to sacrifice, I learn to be patient, I learn to be humble, I learn to be austere. But when it comes to the same situation upon others, We don't say that, Prabhu, you please, when you come to my house, you eat less. You are supposed to starve. You are supposed to perform austerity. We don't say that. We are supposed to, with a very, you know, broad-minded heart, we are supposed to feed them, take care of them, serve them. So with respect to their challenges, oh, no, no, Prabhu, challenges do come. You please, you know, tolerate them. Learn to tolerate them. No, we go to help them. Oh, Prabhu, you please, you know, don't hurry up. Have patience. You know, don't ask them to sacrifice. Anything to do with certain virtues needs to be applied upon oneself, not applied upon others. This is the second category of emotion, where when I am looking at others' problem, when I am looking at others' challenges, when I am looking at others' enthusiasm, when I am looking at others', you know, happiness, how I deal with reservists when some similar situation happens upon me. When I go through a difficulty, I go through a challenge, I go through a happiness, I go through some experience, I need to learn to see what is there for me to learn. And I don't apply the same manner when it comes to others, rather than others, I go and serve. Now the third category of emotion is about what we call as transcendental emotions. That is not what our current scenario is. These transcendental emotions are purely to be handled, dealt with utmost care. When we say utmost care, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here this guy, this fisherman, saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a madman, as a person ghost haunted, or a person who is completely, you know, completely gone case. But actually, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Krishna himself. Until and otherwise, Swarup Damodar Goswami had not come and bridged the situation, not made devotees to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, not made to create a situation by which Mahaprabhu could come back to his external consciousness, the scene would have been much more pathetic. So we needed Swarup Damodar Goswami in our life for us to bridge from our external consciousness to our internal consciousness. That is why Guru, that is why Vaishnava, that is why Shastras, that is why our Seva, that is why our Sadhana happens to be a very important connect to go internalizing in Krishna consciousness. Had Swarup Damodar Goswami not come and not acted in the manner the way he did it, there is no way Mahaprabhu would have come back to external consciousness. Swarup Damodar Goswami had to come, perform Kirtana with loud Hari Bol, Hari, Harinam, Sankirtan. Everybody chanted, that Mahaprabhu came back to external consciousness slowly. So hence the third emotion, when it is coming to transcendental emotions, when you happen to see some self-realized soul behaving in such a manner, we are supposed to follow four principles. Whenever we see these external emotions of certain personalities, number one, we don't imitate. Number two, we don't judge. Number three, it is extremely important to understand and explain and, you know, get explanation from a bona fide source, not from any source. And number four, such an emotion to be worshipped and yearned for at some point in time. Because this Krishna consciousness activities, when Srila Prabhupada was in this planet, we see there are many devotees who could understand Srila Prabhupada in his mood correctly. But there were several people who couldn't understand. So they were imitating Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada used to chastise the scientists, when Srila Prabhupada used to talk to, you know, certain journalists, when certain Prabhupada speak to, you know, certain, you know, scholars and noble laureates, we are not supposed to imitate in the same manner that Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada could do it because of his, you know, position. Srila Prabhupada went to a, you know, public program and, you know, he kind of was upset with them. So we'll have to also handle, you know, ourselves, not to exactly, you know, imitate what Srila Prabhupada did, but understand the principle, try to apply. So hence, the third category of emotion, when it is to deal with deeper and esoteric aspect of Krishna consciousness, which several devotees within our movement still are, you know, exhibiting. So such an association needs to be earned. You need to yearn for such an association. Because just by being in the association, even though we may not understand quote unquote, just by that association we will get purified. And there are several such examples in our Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, we could see them. But if I can talk about post Srila Prabhupada's departure, we got to hear some of our Prabhupada's disciples, some of the Prabhupada's followers also exhibited some very wonderful behavior of consciousness, where they felt very much deeply drawn. So those stories are not publicly publicized. I'm sure those of you are all attached to your own guru, you would have heard several stories of that capacity, which is non-comprehensible, non-explainable, purely to be worshipped and yearned for. So never imitate. Number two, never try to give a explanation based on, you know, your understanding, whatever role you know. Nor you try to, you always try to hear from a bona fide source to understand how you have to understand and apply in your life. And finally, yearn for it. So when we are going to, when we are all going to discuss this next set of explanation that Mahaprabhu is going to share, so please apply them so that you will enjoy really what has been, you know, spoken about. Otherwise, you will be still beating around the bush wondering what is going on. That is why Srila Prabhupada very strongly warned that please don't dive deep into Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda. Please don't directly jump into 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please don't discuss about Shishi Radha Krishna's esoteric pastime without understanding who you are, what is your responsibility, what is your connect with Guru and Gauranga, what is your connect with this world. So please get those basics clear before we learn those signs. That's my third reflection. The last and important reflection is about Mahaprabhu's half external consciousness. And it is the duty of the Supreme Lord. When I say duty, it's not duty bound that way. But whenever the Supreme Lord comes, when the Lord descends to this world, he definitely enjoys his, you know, internal reason, because Krishna had his own internal reason. Krishna did his external reason, as always it is. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata apriptanama dharmasya tadatmanam shudhamyam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushtuta dharma samstapanataya sambhavani yuge yuge. So Krishna, Prabhupada writes in teachings of Queen Kunti, why Krishna is born, how Krishna is born, how Krishna's appearance is not material. At the same time, Krishna has got a agenda for this world, and Krishna has got an agenda for himself. So whenever Mahaprabhu has performed his Leela, so Mahaprabhu made sure his external agendas are very nicely done. So he has taken care of that in Madhya Leela. In Madhya Leela, his instruction to Rupa Goswami, his instruction to Sanatana Goswami, and all those discussions on pure devotional service, he has given enough knowledge. He has even given a table of contents to Sanatana Goswami on how to compile that book. Because after finishing his explanation to the words Atma Ramasya Munayaha, Sanatana Goswami is, you know, bowing down, saying that, my dear Lord, you're asking me to explain that, you know, Bhagavatam in this manner, I'm not qualified. Because Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, you should write a book. Sanatana Goswami said, what should I write? That also you tell. So Mahaprabhu is appreciating Sanatana Goswami, and then he's giving a table of contents. If you go and read the last chapter of Madhya Leela, the last few verses where Mahaprabhu is explaining what all things Sanatana Goswami need to, you know, detail them out. So Mahaprabhu has done his duty as a Vaishnava, I mean Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namah. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a Bhakta, as a devotee in his external consciousness, has done that part very well. Now, as an internal reason, as an internal consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed both during Ratyatra time, Snanyatra time, Gundicha Marjan time, and several times Mahaprabhu had his own internalized, you know, some portions. But this half external state of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are our rescue. Because that is the time where he is revealing what had actually happened. Otherwise, a sadhaka who is in the path of self-realization will have no clue. Those who are self-realized anyway would resonate there. Swarup Damodar Goswami, it was not so difficult for him to understand what Mahaprabhu is going through.
Govinda, it was not so difficult for him to understand what Mahaprabhu was going through. But if this half external consciousness of Mahaprabhu was not there, and it was not recorded by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and this Leela is narrated, just imagine what would have happened to us. We would have no clue what actually had happened, how these emotions, you know, how a self relates the soul, how they go through. When we hear Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, several Goswamis do go through such, you know, such emotions. They also go through certain, what they call a certain bhava. And this half external consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is something to help us understand, or to help us to accept, help us to glorify, help us to surrender that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. He is that Supreme Lord, Mahavadanya, the most munificent incarnation, who has come down and made appear this pure devotional service, or made to realize this pure devotional service as something very easily approachable, whilst all the demigods and great personalities in the spiritual abode are struggling to figure out how is this possible? Why is this personality giving this pure love of God so profusely? This fisherman, according to the description of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, just by touching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got fully transformed and got pure love of God. Just by handling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only this fisherman, several animals in Jharkhand forest, several people who came and witnessed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during all the public events, all of them got self-realized. That is why it is our good fortune that we have got Srila Prabhupada, we have got all these wonderful acharyas, including Swarup Damodar Goswami, because of whose help the Supreme Lord himself is speaking about himself. And these are all the places where it is called confidential but real, and it is presented for those who are surrendered souls to understand how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Even though his narration looks like that he witnessed certain things, but he was involved, participative into those Leela, and as you all will be discussing tomorrow, you'll enjoy. So all glories to this the devotees like Swarup Damodar Goswami, like Prabhupada, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Can you imagine, had Bhaktivinoda Thakur not been there, who would have shown us which is Yoga Peeth? How Bhaktivinoda Thakur got to get access to this? If you really analyze by scientific didactical method, probably people will say that this is just a, you know, hunch. But from spiritual context, we know Chaitanya Bhaktivinoda Thakur got to find out which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Janamasthan is actually a spiritual sign. Because he saw a very wonderful, powerful light. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, you know, also acknowledged. So several, you know, symptoms are there. So these external, half external state that self-realized soul go through, they are our source of inspiration to yearn to eventually go from external consciousness to internal consciousness. These are the four sets of reflections that I want to discuss. The first one is about how we are supposed to lead an honorable living, honorable devotion, and make sure that we are not swinging extremes or not try to misbehave just because of some sporadic behavior. So we spoke about six types of anishtita bhajana kriya, uttahamai, ganatarala, vyuda vikalpa, vishaya sangara, niyamakshana, taranga rangini. And second is, we spoke about how honesty is the best policy. So hence, let's try to be honest to ourselves by, at least by rules and eventually by action, so that we can start performing devotional services and eventually raise up to the standard of loving, serving the Supreme Lord. In that way, with that preparation, we will be able to handle the emotion. Whilst the emotions of external things is to understand what this world is, emotions of handling how we are supposed to serve and wonderful, you know, relate with other devotees, vis-a-vis how I am supposed to handle my own emotions in my practices. And the third category of emotion, we spoke about how we are supposed to not imitate,
not explain on our own way, try to learn from a bona fide source and yearn for such a, you know, stage of progress in Krishna consciousness. And such an emotion is definitely to be appreciated, definitely to be practiced, you know, at some point in time in our devotional journey. And last but not least, we spoke about the half external consciousness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which happens to be a very, very important and wonderful, you know, opportunity for us to appreciate the deeper sides of Krishna consciousness. So thanks to Swarup Damodar Goswami, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, thanks to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, all the acharyas, without whose help, even in this particular pastime, without, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami himself, Mahaprabhu wouldn't have come to external consciousness. So we, you know, so we dutifully surrender to them, just do what they ask us to do, and eventually we will be also able to enter the internal consciousness. Thank you so much. Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hitaya Gaura Premanande Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, I'll be happy to respond.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a wonderful, wonderful class, Prabhuji. So you already summarized. So even I like the points what you have summarized, like four reflections, like six kinds of behavior patterns, and we have to learn the honorable living and honorable devotional, and how you have detailedly explained about the honesty. Very nicely, five steps, five levels of honesty, Prabhuji. So thankful for that. And how to handle our emotions, the three levels of emotions. Thank you so much. And the fourth reflection was ultimate. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So you have time for the question and answer.
Yeah, definitely.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the four different reflections and also explaining about the three states of consciousness, and I mean, it was a nice way of understanding, because analyzing Mahaprabhu had the three levels of consciousness, and then also about us, how we behave. It was extremely nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the beautiful thing.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
There's so a question on the chat, so I will read the question. Maybe somebody else can, in them.
Yes,
so being a neophyte, it's difficult for me to understand whole lecture, but I have a question. If our senior recommends something to work upon, but then while working on it, it's difficult to face ourselves and also difficult to share same thing with our guru or senior, then what should we do? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least, thanks for this question. It's a bit application oriented. So I will just share as a general principle. This may vary from person to person, and this may vary from different circumstances, who is giving to whom. As a principle, I will just share. So, and first of all, I'm sorry, just in case if my whole lecture went beyond your head and I spoke some jargon, which is too much for you to assimilate. It is slightly contradictory to state that our seniors have given us something and it is not compatible for me to do. Technically speaking, it is always explained a guru gives instruction to the disciple, or a senior gives service to his subordinate, assessing what they assimilate, are able to assimilate. Assume that Srila Prabhupada speaks to us on what he knew vis-a-vis what we needed. I understand what Srila Prabhupada did was, Srila Prabhupada gave only that much that he thought that we could assimilate. Anumat Prashek Maharaj used to always say this, that a spiritual master does not reveal everything to his disciple, knowing that a disciple may not be able to assimilate everything under the roof. But he reveals definitely little more than
what a disciple could assimilate. And at an incremental circumstances, he keeps sharing in a different forum those things that are slightly. So if I can walk 5 steps, the target of 7 is given. 7 steps, the target of 10 is given. And incidentally, what happens is in this arrangement, there is an incremental step-by-step growth, which the spiritual master facilitates. While this facilitation is happening, Krishna on his own, because we are moving forward towards him, Krishna also comes forward and comes closer to us. And Krishna also reveals through circumstances, guru, as well as experiences, Krishna reveals certain things. That is why Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Nectar of Instruction, this is the first duty of a practitioner, is to control one's mind and senses. And further, Prabhupada writes, everything pertaining to spiritual practices will be revealed to such a practitioner. So the revelation is something that I can't dictate. I have to command. I cannot demand. I have to command my practices. So from that perspective, a guru has given you, recommended you certain things, and it is overwhelming or not able to do this. So probably the only way I could think of is, you may have to go back to the person who gave you and may have to, you know, share. But the challenge here is that you are not able to share. So I do not know, probably we may have to, you may have to find out someone else. If you think that no one else in this world could understand you, only, you know, you can understand yourself, that's when we have a small, you know, risk there. We go and reveal ourselves to the doctors, you know, then we have to go and treat ourselves. I have a kidney stone, I have something in my, you know, stomach, something in my abdomen. If I have to be operated, then I have to, you know, stand naked in front of my doctor. At that time, I cannot say that, no, I don't, you know, I'm a very shy person. So whomever you are, but then for you to get treated, at least you to, you know, make sure that the person whom you surrender to is trustworthy, dependable, competent, compassionate, as well as, you know, we say, which is three key principles. He is, you know, compassionate, competent, and having good character. So if you know all these three things are in that person, if we have to slightly motivate, encourage, pray to Krishna and generate some sort of a courage and have to reveal. Otherwise, we will go in circles. But last but not least, one thing that I have learned in our spiritual life is that if we are sincere, Prabhupada writes in 10:10 Bhagavad Gita purport or 15:15 Bhagavad Gita purport, either one. If a person is having a bona fide spiritual master and if he is attached to a spiritual organization, if he is not able to make necessary spiritual progress, then Krishna from within makes necessary arrangement in such a manner, as this paraphrase, necessary arrangement in such a manner, he will be able to appreciate or he will be able to direct that person to practice Krishna consciousness nicely. Probably when other questions are there, I will try to find that words up from Bhagavad Gita. This is from either 10:10 or 15:15 Bhagavad Gita purport. Am I making some sense, Rupali Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. But still, I feel it's difficult. Then the last sentence you told, that is improves my confidence. So thank you so much, Prabhuji.
I found it. You go to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 10, last paragraph. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to Him. Very, you can read this, take this paragraph. I would have read this for several times. Please read this. This is a hope. Somewhere, Prabhupada writes, is sincere and devoted. In Nectar of Instruction, Shloka number 5, purport, Prabhupada writes in one place, if non-duplicity and sincerity is there, then Mahaprabhu, he is telling in the context that according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, anyone who chants less than 64 rounds is considered as Patita. The Prabhupada says, according to them, we are Patita because we chant, we recommend only 16 rounds. But Prabhupada writes, if somebody is sincere, non-duplicious, then Mahaprabhu understands our heart. And necessary to give us necessary progress to, you know, help to progress Krishna consciousness. So we are definitely not at loss. So Neha Bikramana so Sipratya Vayona Vijayate Swalpamati Yasya Dharma Yatrayate Nahato Vaya. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I request other devotees, if you have any other questions or realizations, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. Prabhuji, in the second reflection, in the again, there's a subtopic like honesty among thieves. And you mentioned, Prabhuji, like the thieves, they will be stealing others' things. But when it comes to sharing within themselves, they are very honest. So now, how do I understand this in related to a sadhaka life? I was not clear on that part, Prabhuji.
The idea is that, you know, in our own services, we have expectations. When it comes to us, we expect others to fulfill those expectations upon us. But when it comes to others, we do not want to fulfill their expectations. Prabhupada explains this. What is education? One of the definitions Prabhupada says, Matruvat Paradareshu Paradravyeshu Lothravat Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu Ya paschati sa pandita. The third line is, when a person is learned to treat others as he would like to be treated. The problem is, suppose if you go and steal from a thief's place, or if you try to loot the thieves, no, they will not be happy. They will be upset. They will go and cry. Like what is happening? I mean, I'm not sure you know how real it is, but nowadays in movies and other places they show, like if somebody goes to kill a terrorist or a, you know, criminal, anybody in their family, they get so wild that they come to kill us and give a reason that, you hurt my family. But at that time, they don't acknowledge their life itself is hurting others. When your own daughter, your own son, your own family members are hurt, you have a pain. But when you hurt others, you have no pain. So the principle here is that when in the process of being honest, you know, to be not fallen in that category at all, where we try to, you know, say that I will be honest when others have to deal with me, they have to deal honestly. They deal with me with all genuinity. But when I have to deal with them, they have to understand my, you know, state. That's something, it's very lopsided. Does it make sense, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhuji, very much. Now it is very clear, Prabhuji. Yes, right now we see everywhere the same situation that you are telling, Prabhuji. They are away the moral values and they say that I was affected, so they also do the same mistake that's happening. Yes. Prabhuji, regarding emotions, Prabhuji, there was a second realization. You said that we carry others' emotions, either it is popular or we are weak. So, like, that also was not clear, Prabhuji.
Basically, what I was trying to say is that, we imitate. We tend to, practice Krishna consciousness based on imitation. So, and just not only imitate, we try to behave, operate in that manner, which is very risky. So, I need to be as truthful, as honest to my practices and not imitate just because, you know, others are exhibiting such symptoms. This is pretty much there in Vaishnava community where there are
upcoming devotees are there, we naturally tend to imitate certain things, and finally we land up. Like, for example, imitating certain vows, imitating certain, you know, austerities, imitating certain things without gauging what is your current state of surrender is. Because as you go up in the ladder, there are several things that one person needs to gain, several things one person needs to relinquish. So if you're amateurishly trying to, you know, inherit or not inherit, imitate or try to copy them, then probably we will face consequences. And with all due respect, if I can state this in this forum, after Srila Prabhupada left, several Prabhupada disciples, at least few Prabhupada disciples, who couldn't handle or who kind of imitated Srila Prabhupada, and they had to face the consequences of them, and they eventually had to leave the movement. Of course, they eventually will be protected and saved because they served Prabhupada, but for the limited period in time, because they, you know, they did not know how to handle, so they kind of fell in their spiritual state. Does it make sense, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhuji, that's very correct, Prabhuji, what you said. Like, for Sadhaka, we should not try to do what others are doing because their conscious level and their like experience is different for a neophyte like us. So that's right, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, and also we were telling, like Prabhupada used to say, don't dive more into Gita Govindam, like in a beginner level. And you also mentioned that don't read the internal pastimes of Radha and Krishna without knowing who you are. So we listen to Radha Krishna pastimes from other classes with other Prabhujis and Matajis are explaining. So they are in that conscious level. They are reading it and they're explaining to us. But when we listen in the classes, we are not in, to that level. So like, how do I understand when you said who you are without knowing who you are?
Wonderful question. So I'll tell you this answer in three different dimensions. One dimension is Srila Prabhupada. When he was on the planet, he was very careful what to speak, where to speak, when to speak, how much to speak. Very careful. Several leelas I can narrate. One time he was in one life member's house. That life member requested Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, please speak about Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada said that, no, I cannot speak about Srimati Radharani. That life member kept on persuading. Prabhupada kept on giving some answers very gently. Then after a point in time, Prabhupada said, probably you are qualified to hear about Srimati Radharani, but I'm not qualified to speak about her. And just, you know, ended the conversation there. So the point is, certain esoteric and deep classes on... see, there is something called Radha Krishna's pastimes in general. And there are Radha Krishna's pastimes in terms of deeper rasas. What Srila Prabhupada's recommendation is, if you are a regular practitioner reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and systematically studying, knowing certain contexts, because a very interesting example is given like this. I go in a bus, I have a person sitting next to me. That person is seeing me for the first time, or I am seeing him for the first time. I ask him, hey, what's your wife's best color that she likes? First time I'm seeing him, I'm asking him the color that his wife likes the most. Can I ask that question? I'm not supposed to ask the question. What response I will get? I'll get a very rude response. But if we are very close, very thick and thin family members, we speak about it, each other's families, our choices, our, you know, liking. So then certain confidential, certain personal things are shared. Then also, it is shared with very, you know, very utmost care. So what Prabhupada is trying to encourage is, if you are a practicing devotee, your journey in learning should be more towards, that is why whenever such esoteric topics are presented, I take the route because I consider where I stand and I try to always try to draw a lesson for a practitioner even from that esoteric, lesson. Because
such leelas are ever increasing, ever there. But we need to draw a lesson from my perspective. This is the second point. Third point is what I just mentioned as a part of my third reflection, third point, emotion towards such a self-realized behavior. Don't imitate. Don't try to give an explanation or purport. So when you hear such lectures, okay, here, you know, appreciate them, move on. Don't dwell on them because you're still learning several things in the basics. You're still trying to, you know, find your ground. So if you happen to hear such Krishna Katha, it is like when we are growing up in the school, we see our seniors, we see somebody going to college, we see somebody working. So we get some perspective. But we don't try to go and understand, ask, what did you study in your class? What subject they all taught you? Can you please share some lessons? We don't ask that. We all know that, okay, we have to get there. Eventually, when we get there, we will, you know, try to figure that out. But when they happen to share in your family, maybe your elder brother or your uncle or somebody come and share, you happen to hear them, oh my God, okay, probably when I grow up, I may have to study all this. You may not understand, you know, Greek and Latin of what they said. So, but at least you get a perspective, oh my God, great things are also there. So to that much, you can appreciate. Just appreciate. Wow, Krishna Lila is unfathomable. It's an appreciation. I can't understand Krishna Lila. If you attended an entire, Krishna Lila class, if you did not understand and come and say, oh my God, Krishna is so great, I can't understand him, you deserve a glorification. And last but not least, Srila Prabhupada was very particular in making sure that compartmental learning, please learn according to your compartment. Don't mix and match unnecessarily so that you may not get clarity of thought and eventually you may get lost. And eventually you may get carried away by some other unscrupulous men also. So from that standpoint, when you hear any senior devotees, anybody discussing about Radha Krishna, all that sort of thing, it is definitely a bona fide one. How much is recommended for you is depend upon your state, your guru and your senior, your counselor's desire. So that you also have to have your own honorable assessment. Oh, no, I have my own sense gratification. Because if you see certain descriptions of certain Leela, it's very open and it may apparently be sounding vulgar. But it's the rasa of the Leela. Those who are part of that, you know, consciousness, they will be able to appreciate that. But whilst I can't appreciate, I can't negate them, neither I'm supposed to get bogged down or, you know, get too much into it. Rather, I appreciate them and stay that much. Oh, wow, wonderful. I heard a katha and I move on and focus on your study. So, if you happen to be part of a Sangha, some senior devotees speak, hear them. They are still purifying, they are still glorious, they are still something to learn. But don't dwell on them and suddenly switch yourself to the, you know, Raganuga Bhav, you know, just do a Hanuman Lee. Go by step, that's what Prabhupada wanted. Does it make sense, Madhavi?
Very wonderful, Prabhuji. Yes, because we listen to different classes and the speakers who talk are very transcendental, very exoteric, and they say about Raganuga Bhakti always. But we have to know where we are. That is very important, you mentioned, Prabhuji. So finally, Prabhuji, while you were talking about the transcendental emotions, the four rules you mentioned, don't imitate, don't judge, and understand and get the explanation by bona fide devotees. That's what we're doing in Sangha all the time, when getting closer to Antya Leela. And you said, Prabhuji, we have to worship and you have to earn for something in life like that. So it is that the last point, is it, or can we wish to have that emotions or we earn to get it? Is it okay, Prabhuji, like that?
Yes, definitely. That's what, you know, Prabhupada is encouraging. You should yearn to get Krishna prema. You don't need to earn. Let me earn to become, kheer maker in Radha Rani's Raslila. Don't earn like that. That'll be really, you know, funny. But you can earn to get Krishna prema. You earn to get, you know, personalized association with Krishna. You earn to get into the stage of Samadhi. So those, what you can philosophically articulate, earn that way. You may not know, maybe if I had been a Manjari to Tulasi Maharani, what sari I would wear? That is too much to earn. That is too, even if you have heard such a pastime, probably don't earn, you know, which is amateurish, which you may not be able to comprehend or articulate correctly. So hence, earn to get Krishna prema. That is why Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha is explaining five stages. Maranam, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Durvanu Smriti and Samadhi. So he is saying five stages, five things. I will not get into that because it's a separate topic by itself. If you want more information, Prabhupada is writing about this in Nectar of Instruction. Sloka number 8, purport, third or fourth paragraph. NOI, verse number 8, Prabhupada writes. And a Nectar of Instruction is a book for beginners. So look at what Prabhupada has written in the beginner's book. Nectar of Instruction is something that every individual yearning, sadhaka need to, memorize the entire book. That much, rasa is there, that much siddhanta, that much direction is given. But even there, Srila Prabhupada has explained what you are going to go through, what is the stages that you are going to accomplish, and how you can accomplish also. So the process is bona fide, process is transparent, process is, encouraging you to go there. Just don't rush on your own. Have a guided tour. Have a guided path. Have a guided journey. If you rush on your own, probably you may slip. That's all the warning. Nothing else. Of course, Jayadeva Goswami is bona fide. The leaders are bona fide. But unfortunately, today we are not in the state. It could be recommended to you and me, or at least to me. I cannot speak about yourself. So that is why Prabhupada said, stick on to certain things till you reach your state. So that's the premises on how you can earn. You can earn. Definitely Krishna prem, that's the target. Go back home, back to God. As what? As self-realized soul. And the Nectar of Instruction prevails. What Prabhupada says? He is giving us a target that we are all supposed to become a Goswami. Read that Nectar of Instruction prevails. The purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to create Goswami. And you can become a Goswami if you can fine-tune your attitude. Your attitude is fine-tuned. The previous sentence is, you can learn to control your mind and senses. Naturally, everything pertaining to Krishna consciousness will be revealed. So scientific. So it's all, in one single context. You can never get lost. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji, very much. So finally, Prabhuji, the part you explained about the role of Swarup Damodar, like how he was bridging the situation. So like we can understand the half external consciousness of Mahaprabhu. That was like, so we can appreciate the role of Swarup Damodar. Now we can also appreciate the role of Acharyas, what they've done for us. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. It was such a wonderful class. Jai Sachinandana, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glory to any questions or comments?
Yeah. I request devotees, if anybody have any other questions or comments, you can please go ahead. Prabhuji, have some more time.
Okay. So, now we should end.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much once again, Prabhuji, for such an enlightening class and so wonderful question and answer session. We are so grateful to you for your very valuable time and association once again. We're looking forward for your association again, and we'll pay our obeisances. Vancha kalpatarupyasya kripa sindhu yai vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Nantu koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam ki jai. Sri Lakshmi Pad ki jai. Ram Giridas Prabhuji ki jai.
Jai
Krishna Prabhuji.
Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you.